Thank you for the review of the article and for the opportunity to add to the discussion. There are a few additional points to consider. Because of the time-critical nature of septic shock, patients were randomised under a waiver of consent, with subsequent consent to continue in the trial sought from the participant or the next of kin. 37 participants, balanced evenly between the groups, did not consent, so their data was not included. The sample size calculation included an inflation factor to allow for this. All participants who provided consent to continue were included in the intention to treat analysis. While therapies other than fluids or vasopressors were at the discretion of the treating clinician, we collected data on the use of steroids, antimicrobials, and source control procedures. These are reported in the supplementary appendix, available online with the published article. There was no difference in the primary outcome of days alive and out of hospital, overall, or in any pre-specified subgroup. The point estimates for mortality were higher in the vasopressor group, although the 95% confidence intervals all cross one, meaning that potential benefit also cannot be excluded. The trial was not powered for mortality, so conclusions cannot be drawn, but nevertheless caution is required. The vasopressor groups ceased vasopressors more quickly, but this was offset by a higher proportion being commenced on vasopressors and also admitted to the ICU. Pulmonary edema was higher in the fluids group, although there is a risk of ascertainment bias in an unblinded trial. This was mitigated by having defined diagnostic criteria and requiring that all patients be assessed specifically for this outcome by the site investigator. The point estimate for the median time to cease ventilation was also shorter in the vasopressor group, although the threshold for statistical significance wasn't reached. My take on the results. Firstly, a fixed volume of resuscitation fluid, such as 30 mL per kilogram, is not supported. Some patients need fluid and others don't. Clinicians excluded patients from the trial for whom they did not have equipoise. Patients in the trial received a median of 18 mL per kilogram pre-randomisation and 7 mL per kilogram in the vasopressor group and 20 mL per kilogram in the fluids group over the first 6 hours of the intervention. So it appears that initial fluid resuscitation volumes within this range are safe. Peripheral vasopressors are safe, certainly for the first 6 hours, which was the median duration in both groups. Hemodynamic resuscitation in septic shock should be individualised. IV crystalloid fluid boluses should be titrated to assessments of OU status and to bedside indicators of perfusion. Vasopressors should be commenced if deemed necessary and may occur concurrently with fluid resuscitation. Overall, the judgment of an experienced clinician at the bedside is probably better than an algorithmic approach. 12-month follow-ups are continuing and will collect mortality, disability and health-related quality of life. The planned health economic analysis will be important given the potential trade-offs between increased requirement for critical care beds versus potentially shorter durations of organ support. The implications of the ARISE fluids trial may be operational as much as clinical.